to.
Okay.
Going live first. This is Tim Murdoch, and you're watching Endgame Exotica, exclusive interview series to White Rabbit Radio, and we're here tonight with Emily Yukas, back from popular demand. Oh, my.
Hi.
Just had a problem with Rumble I've never had before. Started streaming, and somehow, I don't know, the link wasn't working, so I had to redo the link really quick. I just tweeted it out, or I can never get used to saying X, tweeted it out right to you, so... There you go. You guys out there, we are working on Rumble. A-okay. I just had to redo it. I don't know. I never had that happen before. I don't know. Are you guys use Rumble at all?
We're not too good at Rumble. We're mostly Odyssey. I'm not as good with Rumble, but I probably should learn.
Yeah, Rumble it's 10 times bigger, and it's growing very fast.
I know.
And they have Rumble locals, which you guys can use, just like Odyssey memberships.
And oh, do they? I didn't know they had memberships now.
It's called Locals. It's hooked up to it, and it works just like memberships on Odyssey, sort of, but it's a little bit wonky. And I haven't totally figured it out, but it's like what Scott Adams uses and all these Rumble guys. Ethan Ralph, Killstream, they have, you know, you have your streaming and then you have your membership. And what's kind of neat about it is you can turn it, like turn your stream on Rumble off and just have it going, like stream for an extra half an hour just to your members, which is kind of interesting. On the fly, you don't have to, like on Odyssey, if I want to stream to just members, you got to basically set it up that way. But this is all on the fly, which I think is kind of intriguing.
Well, that's good to know. I had no idea that existed, so I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's something for modern politics to be aware of. Definitely that, and I think Gumroad as well, probably be aware of. And there's mm-hmm. a few others that I talked to Warren about, but I don't know. This is Emily Yukis, guys, back by popular demand, and she's over on Modern Politics. Let me give you the white screen. I always take it off black for Odyssey. I can't stand Odyssey's black. I don't know why.
Really? This is the one time I do prefer black.
Everything on Odyssey is a little bit wonky. All these sites I find are a little bit wonky. It's like YouTube works really well most of the time, but everything else is a little bit wonky. But I don't know why I don't like their black sites. I just don't. I like Gab where I can adjust it to like dark blue and stuff, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. What's up, Global Chat? Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. And thank you very much. I haven't seen you in a while, Mr. Flood. Asking for a new mod. I've never heard of Serbian Bull. I don't know who that is. Okay. I'm here. Let's see. I don't know.
Can I share this on Telegram? Is there a Telegram link I can share?
You know what? Let me put it out on Telegram. I was waiting to get going live. I wanted to make sure because I know sometimes things can happen, especially when you got a house full of kids.
Are we live now?
No, we're 100% live. We're 100%
okay.
We are live now. So, let me put out something on Telegram, which thanks for reminding me. Normally I do. I was just kind of like waiting and then Rumble didn't work. So I'm like, oh,
okay. Yeah. I've kind of abandoned my Telegram because I'm on Twitter all the time now and I just don't have the time to do Telegram too, but
I just put out show times on there. I do not mess with Telegram. I think it's great for sharing information. I think it's great for personal communication. But as far as political stuff, it's very difficult to compete. I think you need to be on a main channel. Like, you know. All right. I just telegrammed it out.
Okay.
I've now we'll share that. And you can grab
we'll
that.
Share that.
And
yeah, I know. It really doesn't compare to being on Twitter. I see your Twitter has been here since 2009. So
I've been banned.
You're one of the ones that got to stick around.
No. I've been banned like four, maybe five times. The last time was when Keith Woods and all those guys got banned. I got banned and I got it back after like 4 months. I don't know how. I just do appeals every month. But that was the third or fourth time. They just gave me back my account. Now, historically, I do not put up much on Twitter. Post the alt-right because you just don't know what to put out. But over the past year, I've been dabbling a little more. In the past month, I'm now growing again. I pick three or four things to tweet out every day just to see what people are interested in getting into, you know, what they latch onto. And it's kind of wild what people are latching onto right now.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I'm very pleased with Twitter since I've been back on it. I mean, I've been going hardcore. I mean, it's like being on Gab in 2017, really. It's like being on poll. I mean, I'm really not censoring much of anything. I'm being my regular self, and I'm not having any problems. I got suspended twice, but I was able to appeal it. So 18.8K, doing pretty good.
Yeah, you're growing like a rocket. If you do a lot of commentary, like today I was commenting on a couple things. If you do like, well, there's a couple different ways. I was talking to the large accounts, like accounts around 1 million, whatever, that have been around since I've been around. So my Twitter account was started when I started White Rabbit Radio. That's why it says like 2009, whatever. And that's why I said you're all rabbit. We started that. I started it for a joke, and then it became like, okay, this is designed for memes. This is like custom made, because then it was like 30 characters or less. You remember that? 300 characters or less. It was designed for like Bob Whitaker, and I'm like, shit, this thing's gonna be big. And then we started making stuff trend, like 2000 before, as the alt-right was rising. We started experimenting, like the White Man March. I was there making like white genocide trend, and we realized we can do anything we want on this platform if they'll allow it. They usually allow things a couple times, and they start cracking down. But I've already been warned over a couple tweets. They said they restricted it and said we advise you to take it down, that type of thing. So I just took it down, and it's kind of wild. It was over a classic Disney tweet, classic comparing classic Disney, the Big Bad Wolf when he was Jewish, like this big nose, the Disney, the classic Disney, as compared to the wolf, the one merchant versus the wolf. They made it into a wolf, that comparison. And they restricted that, and it seems like if it's on blacks or something like that, they're not. What did you get restricted on? Let me just ask you that, because I've only got restricted over JQ stuff.
Well, that's weird. They've never asked me what the one thing they asked me to delete. What was it? What was it? Oh man. I forget. I forget. But I mean, I'll just get the visibility limited, if I
Right.
say the N word or, the K word
Right.
and stuff. And it just, it sends me a little email and it's like, that's that. But I mean, then there's like the alternate characters that you can use in slurs so that you get away with it. Like, this pinned tweet says Troon. I used a special character for that, I think, and that's why I was able to get away with that. So I mean, I'm just having a blast. It's been excellent. I'm really just completely off my leash on Twitter.
I think you have to have a blue check mark, though. I think you do got to pay money. I
It's
think
worth
you
it.
do. I think you do. I think if you don't pay money, they're just going to not take you seriously and ban it. I think that's what it comes down to. But if you pay them a little bit of money, they're like, okay, and you go through the, like, okay, this is a real person, which I mean, there's views on both sides of that from our particular camp, but I think, I don't know. It's kind of like a free for all right now. I only see restricted stuff, restricted viewing over aggressive JQ stuff, which is par for the course. Jews run everything.
Definitely a little more sensitive around that topic. But I mean, I've been going hard on the Jays. I've been doing a lot of fat jokes about Randy Fine. I've been, calling him a all sorts of names. He blocked me. I said, he's so fat. He looks like he deported 2 million Palestinians into his stomach. The one joke of Randy Fine is so fat, he gives new meaning to the term dual citizen. He can literally be located in America and Israel at the exact same time. And that one blew up. That one got like 7,800 likes. And yeah, so I mean, I'm going hard on the K's, on the Jews. Now I'm going hard on the blacks because of the recent thing. But you got to know how to play the game. You got to do the push pull. You got to go hard a little bit, and then you got to pull back and do some jokes and do some, abstract art and kind of like, go a little non-political for a little bit, and then you go for a push again, and then you pull back. So you just got to know how to play the game, I think, to survive on here.
Yeah, and at any given time you could get crackdowns. We've seen it historically, but they're really letting this fly right now.
I know, it's amazing.
It's not
I'm
even
just
close.
fingers crossed it stays, 'cause it's
Yeah, the way
awesome.
you post, you're easily going to have 100K. The old 10K is now like 50, 100K, that type of thing. But it
Like
seemed.
views?
No. I'm talking about followers.
Oh, followers,
Yeah,
followers,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. It's just a matter of them letting us grow, and
So yeah, that's me. I'm Linda. Like I said, it's a sock account, but I kind of like the Anon thing. I kind of like being pseudonymous because everyone knows it's me, but I like having that extra layer there of the Wojak. You know what I mean? I like it because it's kind of liberating to not be like tied to my face, to not be tied to like my physical persona and everything like that. I like having that layer of anonymity.
Yeah.
So I'm debating on whether or not to, switch over to just Emily Ukis, but I kind of like being Linda. I kind of like having that layer of I like being a non. Like I like that pseudonymous feeling.
Absolutely. It's well, I don't know. You got to change your hat though. Your hat is still your hat is
It's
still
outdated,
yeah,
yeah.
you need to have on you got to go to Easter.
By the time Easter, I mean, every time you change it, though, they like take away your check, and
Oh,
that's
that's
really annoying. So I
right.
think I'm just
That's
going to go back
right.
to, I may put like a flower crown on it.
Yeah, it takes like 72 hours or something for them to get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was just going over what I want to talk about. They're apparently what's big on the news today? Let's see. Let me see what I have pulled up here. I thought this was pretty wild. The stock market's crashing and Trump, this is like an official statement. This is an official statement. A White House official comments on President Trump's current thinking. He's at peak not giving a fuck anymore. Can you imagine being a world leader saying something like that?
Yeah, my theory is like, I mean, it's just getting very surreal. I feel like him and Elon are just doing ketamine in the White House all day, and Elon's like, "What if we put tariffs on everything?" And Trump's like, "You know what, Elon? I kind of like that. Sounds like a good idea." It's getting very surreal.
A little bit too much for sure, but I don't know what's going to happen next. 20% decline's kind of standard for them to start making moves. I mean, this type of thing is not uncommon, a 20% decline. It's just now he's talking about going at it with the Federal Reserve, like MAGA versus the Federal Reserve, which would be wild. That means he wants to go at it with the families that own the Federal Reserve, which could be a fun fight.
I mean, that would be nice. Like, we could only hope. I
That
mean,
would be like an ins. It wouldn't. These are like wars going on between these gangster factions that don't really involve us. It's just like keep us out of it and just kill each other or whatever, you know?
yeah, just
So.
different sects of Jews like battling each other.
Yeah. Unbelievable. This is the big one today. Hold on here. Let me go over this. This is the giant one for the day.
Yeah.
So we have this black on white crime, and it's like blowing up everywhere, you know?
I know, it's great. I feel like this is the first black on white crime that's happened like post-Trump, like since Trump won, and now like everybody, the climate has changed, the woke stuff is officially dead. And I think it's the first one that is just really getting the full brunt of the white lash, of the uncensored white lash, in a way that I don't think we've really seen before. There's been a number of cases like this, of course, through the Biden era. And the only people that were really outraged or turning it into a racial thing were, people on the dissident right, like you and me. But it wasn't it these thing these stories like never broke in their little containment zones, you know what I mean? So I feel like this is the first time one of these black on white killings is being like fully racialized. People are not afraid to say this is a political thing, this is a racial thing. Blacks are disproportionately violent, because people aren't afraid of saying this anymore, because the climate has changed so much, undeniably, since Trump won. Obviously, I have my issues with Trump, but it doesn't it, I mean the masses are still like, the climate has definitely changed. Like we're seeing a revolution within the masses, within white America, and it's great. It's great that this is being blown up like this. It's like every other tweet is talking about this.
Yeah, it seems like there's something different with this one. I mean, we see these every day. You're used to seeing these every day. I'm used to seeing these every day for like all of our lives. As soon as you become aware of like black crime stats because you're probably noticed like, yeah, they're kind of dangerous. Let's avoid the blacks. But then of course you come across this and this whole entire ideal that blacks are more violent. They're around us for some particular reason. And they keep doing these particular violent acts. No one's really calling them out. You can't really have a public conversation on them without them chimping out. And now, of course, you have this particular incident with this young man. And you've got some pretty aggressive commentary on X as well. And they're letting this go.
Yes, it's
They're letting this
wonderful. It's
go.
wonderful to see. Fuck, what was I gonna say? As you said, these black on white murders, they happen every day. They usually don't make it past local news. It's like a little blip and then it's gone. No one remembers the victim. But this kid is like, you got this magic combination of this like very photogenic, like, high school star with this absolutely senseless murder by, I mean, look at this guy. It's just like the perfect case to go viral here, especially in post-Trump America. And white people are angry. I mean, they're sick of this stuff. I mean, white people have had enough. Like, I just posted my old video, Black Crimes Matter, that I made in in 2020 during the summer of Floyd, which was like an hour-long video, like going over all of the black crime statistics, like black on white crime, debunking the George Floyd murder, like debunking socioeconomic factors, just like thoroughly going over these stats. And I just posted, and I realized like people don't need to see these stats anymore. I mean, everyone has every white person is fully aware by now, since the Floyd thing, since this like in like this black terror happened during the Biden era. White people don't need to see stats anymore to know that blacks are like disproportionately violent. It's like well known at this point, and I think whites are finally starting to really put their foot down, and it's a great thing to see.
Yeah, I'm just curious on what comes next. I'm curious of the president comments, which I can't imagine that happening, you know.
Well, my solution, what I always say, is that we need to separate. We need to go our separate ways. This failed experiment, has, it's clearly a failed experiment at this point. Segregation, integration. It's been a complete disaster, and I will happily pay, and I think white America will happily pay to, give the blacks all you can eat seafood buffet cruises with all you can eat crab legs and like, grape drink and stuff back to Africa. I think they need to go back. They need to go back to Africa. I mean, they'll be happier there. I mean, it's cruel to force two races to coexist, especially when one race is just simply not equipped to function in Western society. They're just not capable of it. They belong in the jungle. They belong in a place, and that's where they'll thrive. So I think we can all get behind the Back to Africa movement. I mean, we just got to get them out of here. And I'm seeing more and more people say, like, end the Civil Rights Act. The Civil Rights Act is inherently an anti-white thing. Ship them back to Africa. Slavery was America's biggest mistake. And this is like kind of becoming like a mainstream position now. Like, I'm seeing tweets that are saying this that are getting like 10,000 likes, just everywhere. It's so I think that would be ultimately the end goal, is to just and hopefully like black nationalists can get behind this and everything. We just need to separate. We gotta go our separate ways.
Yeah, 100% separate ways. I just don't think, Black America has been absolutely positively, in many ways, destroyed. They were segregated. They were probably, when they were segregated, they had the best stats of any blacks on the planet when they were segregated.
Yes.
Then they were desegregated, and they were pretty much nothing but low impulse control and, I think when they were segregated, they were also probably far more religious. A lot of religious stuff was enforced on them on some level, as well as whites, aggressive whites, not letting them intrude in their society,
Right.
and how that goes. And this particular ordeal raging, these particular crimes, and sooner or later, a straw is going to break the camel's back. And
I think
as
it's been broken. I mean, I think the Floyd era was the straw that broke the camel's back. And it took a little bit for it to catch up here. But yeah, the Civil Rights Act, that was like the worst thing to happen to America. It was like, the forced integration, and I've been talking about on Twitter how, the forced busing, like, and the Civil Rights Act basically, caused the expulsion of whites from their cities. It was like it caused a mass racial expulsion, destroyed white communities, forced us to flee to the suburbs, from violence, not only from the blacks that were moving in, but from the government. This was like, violently enforced by our own government. And to this day, we're seen as the perpetrators and not the victims of this like violent racial expulsion, when it was white communities that got destroyed to create black communities. And you see what happens with these black communities. It's not fun. It's not a place where people want to live. And increasingly it's getting to the point where we can't escape it. I mean, there's just no places for white people to even flee to. The suburbs are becoming black. I mean, you have to pay, like, you have to get a multi-million dollar home if you want to like avoid seeing black people, and even then you see them. So, and especially with this the recent migration that's been set in here over the past 4 years under the Biden era. I mean, yeah, it's I think it's reached the point where like white people are just like, okay, I've had enough of this. Like people are starting to come to the conclusions that we've come to for like, decades.
How many you put up a very good overview. Hold on here. Now is a great time to show your friends and family one of my best videos, Black Crimes Matter. The thorough all-in-one breakdown of black crime stats and anti-white hate crimes in America, released during the George Floyd riots of summer 2020. Was this one of your first?
Well, I started making like political content in 2016.
Yeah, I'm thinking, is this was your first with Warren? Was this Modern Politics?
No, this was just me. I just made it by myself, and I just did like I like went manic after like the Floyd riots and started like doing all like collecting all the research possible, like getting all these graphs off of poll, because these graphs were all over poll. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go investigate the sources, and I'm gonna do like a thorough like statistical breakdown, like a thoroughly researched thing that like completely debunks all this stuff and outlines it, like the all-in-one video of black crime and black on white crime and stuff. And if you watch it, like if you watch the whole thing, it's like, what can you say? I mean, there's really no arguments to it, especially when I debunk the socioeconomic excuses. And then at the end, I talk about, South Africa and the fate of whites if we become a minority in the United States. So yeah, everybody share it to your friends and family. Like I said, I don't think people need like a thorough statistical breakdown anymore to be convinced. Like we've seen enough over these past 4 years that I think most white people don't need stats. But if you have any like autistic friends and family, it's good propaganda. Like it's really good propaganda.
Yeah, it is. I think it writes itself. All this particular stuff easily writes itself, and it is one of those type. This is one of those events. I think South Africa leading into this is rather intriguing, because before we had South Africa and Trump addressing South Africa, which anything he does to help the farmers there that can actually legitimately help them is good.
Yeah, my issue with the South Africa thing, with Trump's solution of like, bringing them here, is that South Africans, like, they want to stay in South Africa,
Well,
like
I
most of
don't.
them.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about the issue in general, because Tucker Carlson had on a particular guy that historically doesn't like white nationalism or anything like that. But Tucker agreed that they should be able to keep their property, which is a big statement for him, and that they would have to be able to defend it, and they would need help defending it, which is also a big statement because he talks to Trump. You know what I mean? So
Yeah,
that whole.
exactly. That's what I said. I said, why don't you take the weapons and the money that we're giving to Israel and give it to Oriana and help them, fight against their genocide instead of sending money to perpetuate a genocide or commit a genocide. Like, you know, let's arm the white South Africans, because if we bring them here, number one, you're going to take them from a country that's facing white genocide and put them in another country that's also facing white genocide, and they're going to have the same fate and be like even more deracinated over here. And two, you're essentially just handing over the country to the communist blacks and saying, like, okay, you won. And then just like dismantling, like, I think Orion is probably one of like the only legit, like, explicitly white ethno states, like, in the world. So you would be dismantling those ethno states and those white strongholds, and then leaving the whites that can't come over here to like fend for themselves and be even more like vulnerable. So I think the solution needs to be arm the white South Africans, help them establish their own country and like formally recognize their nation and defend them. And honestly, Elon Musk, he's the richest man in the world. I mean, I feel like it's good that he's tweeting about it. It's good that he's bringing awareness to it for sure. But I have to be, you know, a little skeptical when he's the richest man in the world and he won't go and, you know, use his resources and his political influence to help his own people down there. You know, instead he's puttering around in America, in American politics. You know, if he really cared about his people, I think he would use his resources and, you know, political influence to help white South Africans. Instead, they're helping Israel at all costs.
I think that he has an interest in natural resources, and I think he has a vendetta against the South African government. And they might go for regime change. I will have to see what they do. As long as they can help the farmers keep their land.
Yeah.
And as they help the farmers keep their land, that's total positive to me. But they're going to have to. The danger is if there's some type of military response and they don't back them up. That's the problem. That's where the danger is.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, assisting white countries that are, you know, white areas that are facing genocide. Like I said, let's take all the aid we give to Israel and give it to white South Africans. That would be great.
Well, that would probably build a superpower pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Oh yeah.
So
TND time.
Yeah. Guys, we are streaming on Rumble. We're just streaming on a different channel. Had to delete the first stream and open up the second one. And let's see what else we got going on here. But the black, this particular situation, it seems to be seeing a lot of black males threatening violence over accusation that black males are violent.
Yes, yes. And a lot of them aren't even aware that they're doing it. Like, they will do it and not be aware that they're, like, doing the meme. So we're seeing a real race war on Twitter right now. And I like to get in it with the black Twitter. I like to go and, like, you know, poke the hornet's nest, because they're so retarded and they're so easy to own on the internet, because they're dumb. They're dumb and they're violent. It's not hard to own black Twitter. And they just like prove your point in their tweets. I'm like, black people are violent. And they're like, oh, what? Yo, say that to my face. I'm going to shoot your punk ass. I'm like, okay, thank you for, you know, proving my point. So it's been fun going to war with black Twitter here and like winning. Like, black Twitter was very organized, like, before Elon purchased it. They had a lot of power to, like, you know, shift the, do the narrative and do their little attacks and everything. It's crazy what they're saying here. I mean, they're literally admitting that, like, okay, you're not, you know, someone is perfectly justified. Like, it's okay to stab someone to death if you touch their backpack. But it's not okay to, you know, ask someone to move when they're sitting down. Like, they're justifying the murder, like getting stabbed to death it's hard to wrap your mind around their logic. It's really hard to wrap your mind around it. But really, it comes down to just like extreme, like, racial solidarity. They will back the black no matter what, and they will rationalize any action that the black takes over the white person. And it's like, well, white people are going to start doing that now. We're going to start doing that. No more of this equality thing or logic or whatever. You know, just back the white person no matter what against the blacks. And we're starting to see that on white Twitter, right-wing Twitter. So that's really nice to see.
Yeah. Now, as we need to see it, is from white juries
Yes.
as
Well,
whites start
as we
defending
can
themselves.
see, the father, yet another one of these cases of the relatives. I think this was like record time here of like the relative being like, I forgive the killer and I don't want to make this racial. And so we've seen this over and over again with the kid in Akron, Ohio, and over and over again. We did a Modern Politics on it in September 2023 called White Bourgeoisie Cowards. And it was about this exact phenomenon of like family members just doing press releases and saying, this is not racial. This is, don't make this racial. Whatever you do, don't make it racial. And it's like, if you don't you want, if you make it racial, you can get hate crimes charges and the murderer will go to jail for like, 20, 30 extra years. I mean, a hate crime charge and a murder can make something go from like, you get out in 5 years to like life in prison. So, why wouldn't you want your child's murderer to go to jail for the maximum amount of time? Why wouldn't you want to racialize it? Is that so important to you not to racialize it and to seem like a decent fucking person that you're going to, try and like minimize the sentence of the murderer of your child? I mean, it's mental illness. It's insane. And of course, people are pointing out that there is a phenomenon of these coaches. This is a thing, and this is what we covered in our show in 2023, of these coaches that will come in and ordered by the government and will tell the family, okay, you need to not make this racial. Like, you need to make a statement and say that this isn't a racial thing and try not to politicize it. This is a thing that exists, but I don't think that's the entirety of it. I think it is just a lot of, as much as we're seeing this whitewash happen, we still have to remember that there are a lot of brainwashed, gaslit, cucked, just lobotomized whites out there still, to the point where, you're getting this one case blowing up. It's like the perfect case, and the father is like, oh, please don't make this a thing. And of course, he's getting shat on entirely on Twitter. I mean, he is getting
Yeah.
railroaded for this.
I noticed the comment of mine that got I just commented on one of the posts pointing out that the guy was a cucked faggot, that like Western Christianity, as opposed to maybe the Eastern Orthodox, has been reduced. What did the comment say? It has been reduced to nothing but anti-white or white self-hatred. This type of white flagellation of forgiveness every single time. And it's on one end we have the father who wants to forgive people, and on the other end, which is you can't have forgiveness without justice, and you can't have justice without accountability, and we've never had any of that. So you're not going to have any forgiveness. It's like a complete joke. And then you have the other charge. The enemy will always say, stop acting like a victim, where you have a kid stabbed in the chest, a kid stabbed in the chest. And every time we see the brutal murder of whites, it's like, stop acting like a victim. The idea that people aren't supposed to be upset to a brutal stabbing for no reason, is somewhat absurd.
It's absurd. And I'm seeing this line. This was a line that was being pushed by some of the right for a while, like, oh, we can't allow whites, we as whites, we can't allow ourselves to be perceived as victims, or we can't allow ourselves to be victimized, or don't let white people think of themselves as victims. And it's like, come on. I mean, we have to think we are the victims here. I mean, if and that's like the motivator for action, is when a people believes that they have been victimized and they don't know that an injustice has been committed. That is what causes people to take action. And I feel like this case and a lot of others kind of made that line of that rhetoric kind of, fall to the wayside, because it's like, without a doubt, white America has been victimized by their own government, by blacks, by, since the Civil Rights Act and before that, we've been victimized by our own government in our own country as we slip into minority status. So, there's one thing to have to acknowledge an injustice and to acknowledge, that you are being victimized, to do something about it. It's another thing to just, mope and say, oh, why me? I think that's the straw man that they're making, but no one's saying that. Like, acknowledging victimization and injustice is the first step to action. And it's a very important thing that we have to acknowledge as white nationalists.
Yeah, I mean, children are victims. The elderly are victims. You can say some white man who's capable of speaking out for himself isn't technically a victim in some instances, but you're talking about a young fellow who was stabbed for no apparent reason right in the chest. It's obviously a victim. The whole idea of a court case is for victims to have justice. On and on we go. They can't have it both ways. But that was the whole entire argument over the woke right. They start calling the woke right, you know, the people that wanted to focus on race. Well, it's pretty difficult not to focus on race when you have open borders in only white countries and you're being attacked for being white day and night.
Like
Literally.
James Lindsay. I mean, they're trying to make that term stick, and it's so dumb. Like, nobody is falling for it. If anything, the woke right are the people like James Lindsay who are saying, "Oh, don't talk about race. Oh, don't talk about Jews." I mean, he sounds like a liberal at this point. I mean, it's like the Overton window has shifted so far that it's like you sound woke now by saying that I want to, you know, I've been meaning to tweet at James Lindsay and be like, "Oh, we're not allowed to racialize this. Oh, are we woke now for racializing this crime, for saying this is another white victim of black crime? Oh, is that the woke right? Oh, how dare we?" You know, I don't think he can. I'd like to see James Lindsay try and like rationalize saying, "Don't make this about race, guys. You don't want to be woke."
Yeah, but it is about race. It's always about race. Especially when they want to live with us, parasite off of us. At the same time, attack us night and day. It's the most we have the most ridiculous relationship with all these particular groups, even our own elite, our own traitors, meaning their own WASP elite or whatever the remains of that, or white elites. But the whole entire ideal that we're supposed to take it indefinitely is a bit flawed. I always talk about the particular Anglo-American set and their particular empire, and I say, on a balance sheet, if you were to X out a particular group and try to make this particular thing work, the one group that they would want to X out that's very dysfunctional, that causes a lot of problems, a lot of money. No, it doesn't matter whether they're Asian or Mexican. No one wants to be around them. There's blacks. It is one.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, at this point, it would be like it would cost less, and it would, you know, it would be so good if we just took the black community, relocated them in Africa, but still like paid for all their stuff like we do here. I mean, just like, I mean, I'd take that. Like, okay, because if we're gonna pay for them anyway, we might as well put them in somewhere else where they're not in proximity to us. Because think about it. If we were paying for all their stuff in their welfare towns, we can even give them like a fake king so they think that they're in charge or whatever. You know, they have their projects in Africa. They're maintained by white funds as they are in the United States. But think about it. We wouldn't have to deal with their proximity. So like we could move back to our cities. Housing costs would go way down because we wouldn't have the black factor. That's the thing that drives up the housing prices because no one wants to live with them. And, you know, I saw a tweet. It's like being upper middle class means, you know, paying for $1 million home just so you don't have to live around blacks, and not comprehending that that's why you're paying that much money for a home. But if they were in just in another area, I mean, we could all go back to our cities. We could walk around at night. The housing costs would dramatically go down. The congestion, the pollution, and everything would dramatically go down because we'd eliminate like a lot of the suburban sprawl. The environmental stuff would be so much better. I mean, I would happily say, okay, let's just pay for them in Africa. I'll pay for their cruises. We'll pay for the crab leg buffet. We'll pay for the Red Lobster biscuits. Just get them
No.
out of here. Get them away from us. If we're gonna be paying for them anyway, and then they can't. Then they don't have to deal with you know, police brutality or whatever they want to make up. And we won't have to deal with them. And America would just, the crime rate would, you know, shoom. It would just be like a meteor. The crime rate would plummet and everything would be great again. So that's one solution where it's kind of like a win-win scenario where they aren't going to be like, "Well, you just abandoned us in Liberia, you know," and they have to go back to shitting on the beach and everything. I mean, give them a little illusion of the, you know, Western civilization, because that's the only way they're functioning over here, is with the illusion that they're participating when they're not. They're not participating. We're taking care of them. It's like slavery at in a different form. I saw a tweet, I forget who said it, but it's like they're still like public property, you know, they're still like working for the government, they're still being taken care of. So let's just take care of them in Africa. Why not? And then we'll cut them off. We'll cut them off eventually. But we won't tell them that. We won't tell them that up front.
Yeah, the whole idea that they're going to, well, that's always the challenge. If you give them a country of your own, you're going to have to support them forever.
Because well, that can be the pitch, right? We'll pay for Wakanda. We will fund Wakanda. 5 years down the road, oops. I don't know where the money went. We can't pay for this anymore. You know, you're Black Kangs. You can fend for yourselves. You are strong, independent, capable people. You know what's so funny about Black Twitter now? The AI has been a disaster. The AI and its consequences has been a disaster for Black people. They're now, you know what they're doing now? They're making AI videos of like the Blacks are the founding fathers, the Blacks like created Rome, and they're making like very realistic AI videos of like the Blacks like going to space and like building rockets and doing all this stuff. And when Blacks see that, they can't tell the difference. That they literally, even if they know it's AI, they can't actually comprehend that it's fake, and their sensors are just like, you know, it's like a cat that sees a cat in the TV. They just think it's real. These Blacks actually are now like convincing themselves that this is real history because of these AI videos, and they're using ChatGPT to communicate like intelligently. So they're now just essentially communicating with AI through. I had this happen to me when I was like talking about whites being expelled from their communities during the civil rights era. I had this Black come in and be like, we don't need you because, you know, well, you know, look at all this, look at all these Black inventions and everything. And here, and I'm like, great. So you don't need us. So we can separate. And then he's like, no, here's a list of text about why we need to, whites and Blacks need to live together. And he just like made a ChatGPT list of like all these sources. And I'm like, I'm not reading that. I'm not reading all that. And he's like, see, you can't read. And I'm like, nigga, you didn't read that. I know you didn't read one thing from that list. It's really bad.
That's classic. Let me look at some of your replies here. Hold on. Because over the past 24 hours.
I've been having fun.
Yeah. Now it's a great time to show your friends and family one of my best video, Black Crimes Matter. I thought maybe you did this with Modern Politics. And before the show's over, I want to ask you something, because you guys, one of your first podcasts for Modern Politics, which I want to talk about sometime during this particular show, because we have RFK Jr. in there, and they're talking about making changes to the food supply. And you guys did a show, I'm pretty sure, maybe Modern Politics wasn't formed yet, like officially, but you guys had done a video on ingredients in our foods. It scared the shit out of me. It was like a book.
Oh,
you guys
have
read.
Yeah, the countdown thing. Yeah, scroll down, see some of my replies. There's some good ones. You can scroll, and you can see some of my Randy Fine jokes if you keep scrolling.
Yeah, what's up with Randy Fine? Oh. You were going out with Randy Fine, and you created some kind of new meme as well.
Yeah.
That I didn't get.
There's this really fat picture of him. People are saying it's Photoshop, but I haven't gotten any verification that it is. But it just became like everyone's using it. Everyone's using it. That it went viral. But I was making lots of Randy Fine jokes, fat jokes. Fat Jew jokes are a really undertapped line of comedy there. That there's a lot of potential anti-Semitic fat jokes.
Let's see. This whole idea that the kid was the Black Twitter created that the Black was defending himself against this kid for stealing his phone or something.
Yeah, again, it's like they just make stuff up. It's like it's like the AI stuff and like ChatGPT, and all of them will be like, okay, that's reality. This is the level of intelligence we're dealing with.
Yeah, Let's see here. Jesse Lee Patterson, white people, I want you to know black people will never get along with you. He always says this, no matter how you appease them, they will always blame you for their misery. Until they forgive and until you forgive, it will not change. That doesn't seem to work either, because whites
No.
forgive them every freaking day. Black leaders are encouraging hate daily. Agreed. Time to permanently separate. We will happily pay for all you can eat crab leg cruises back to your homeland. Crab leg cruises. If it means we never have to interact with you people ever again, go back to Africa. Remember when we told this guy was just out jogging when he was lynched by a bunch of racist white guys who filmed it? That's right, nationalist with a good one. The jogger, the famous jogger, the McMichaels must be pardoned.
Yeah, pardon the McMichaels. Free the McMichaels. That's what, you know, Trump, if he wants to make good with the whites, if he wants to give the, if he wants to be like the pro-white guy, pardon the McMichaels, pardon James Fields, pardon all these people who got railroaded by this, Will Stancil. Pardon all these people that got railroaded by this insane anti-white crap, this kangaroo, you know, this like show, these show trials that happened during the Biden era. Pardon all these people. Well, you know, James Field happened during Trump's first term. So all these people need to be pardoned.
Yeah. Now, the Will Stancil stuff, you're going to have to explain it to me. You're going to have to explain to me what's going on, because you started this meme over Will Stancil, and I was trying to figure out what you were doing.
Okay, so, yeah, Will Stancil is like...
He's got a following.
Yes, he's a very comical figure. He's, like, kind of lampooned and, like, made fun of by the right for a while. Right-wing Twitter goes after him because he's just... Your classic, the reason why he's funny is because he's like the whitest looking guy ever. Like, he's like your classic, like, Anglo-Saxon. He's from North Carolina. His family owned slaves. Like, he's like the whitest dude ever. And he just like hates himself. Like, he goes for like the most anti-white policies and everything. He has a degree in black studies. So I guess he has a college degree in like black people. And it's like, I mean, if you want to get a degree, I have a degree in black studies. Like, I went to college at Temple University and lived in the hood for the Philly hood for 8 years. I mean, I feel like that I have a much better knowledge of blacks than Will Stancil does, even though he studied them. But, you know, he's like the classic shit lib. He's just very comical, but there's something likable about him. So it just inspired all of these like memes. I started like, you know, harassing him like hardcore in like the fall. And I started making, like AI music videos with him. And, I carved his face into a pumpkin. You know, these were all like silly things that are just like funny jokes, like art and memes, but he like freaked out and was like, report this psycho Nazi. I have a psycho Nazi stalker. She carved my face into a pumpkin. You know, and then eventually he blocked me. And then I kept harassing him from beyond the grave. And he ended up retweeting a video that I made of a squirrel eating his head. And if you scroll down my timeline enough, you can find that. But he like freaked out about that, like it's a death threat or something. And it's like, this is why it's so funny. It's just like, it's just silly comedy. And he like acts like he's getting like death threats and stuff. But I got somebody to work on him for a while, and now he unblocked me recently. So I'm not going to go like hardcore like I did before.
I don't think a lot of people really understand internet humor when you do that type of thing. I mean, I think a lot of people misread this type of thing, like, you know, whites especially, guys like this specifically.
Well, yeah, just look at some of the stuff he's saying. I mean... that's the other funny thing about him. He likes that post all the time. Click on his post. The solution is to punish those responsible. Click on that.
This looks like a live one.
Yeah. So I said, you know, I agree, Will, justice for Austin Metcalf. And the funny thing about him is he like borderline Fed posts about like, you know, like destroying his enemies and stuff, which is really funny because he acts like everyone else is violent, but he like has these violent fantasies. Oh yeah. The other thing that's funny is people meme him into being a Nazi, and it works because he's like so white. Like, he's got the A10s and everything. So he would make a good Nazi. So it's like, you know, this is why there's a unique combination of factors with Will Stancil that makes him an incredibly comedic and memeable figure.
Triumph of the will. Well, he's got quite a following.
Yes, he does. Yes. Somehow he ran for office in Minneapolis. Oh, the other thing, he just totally ignores the Jewish question. He totally ignores it. He won't touch it. He will not touch it with a 10-foot pole, which is very suspect. He'll only touch it if he's going after Trump. If it's something that Trump does that's bad, like Trump deported an activist on campus. This is really bad, guys. And I'm like, yeah, Trump. Yeah, well, isn't that interesting that they're deporting? The only people they're really going after and deporting are people who are critical of Israel. Isn't that interesting, huh? Maybe Trump isn't a Nazi, you know, because how can he be a Nazi when literally every single member of his cabinet is like a maniacal Zionist Jew or a maniacal Christian Zionist?
Well, this is kind of a crazy.
Explain to me that.
A crazy tweet here. Trump loves terrorists because he feels it's a way to shake people down. Even better, shake foreigners down. He thinks protectionism is more akin to a protection racket. He clearly gets an almost sexual thrill from announcing them, and more the higher the better.
Yeah. So scroll down. So I replied to that. You got to scroll down a bit.
Here's the thing. You know, Reagan put tariffs on Japan.
The economy is not my strong suit. I am not good at
a lot of these guys.
I don't understand these things, so I don't really have any commentary on that.
I think Trump, the problem with Trump's tariffs so far is I don't know whether he's really doing permanent tariffs or just trying to make them lower their tariffs for free trade. I haven't figured out, because everything with him is a gambit. He clearly gets an almost sexual thrill from announcing policies, projecting again, aren't we, Will? Look at him. There you go.
Look at this dude. Like, he's making TikToks now. He became like a TikTok star recently. He has the complexion of a 5-year-old, but guess how old this guy is?
I don't know.
Guess.
40?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He will be 40. So you got it right. Yeah. But he looks like, I mean, look at his skin. He looks like he's like 17 years old.
He's got some good genes. He's got the genes, you know.
The Anglo-Saxon, like the impeccable Anglo-Saxon genetics are the thing that's saving him. But the joke is that he like raped a girl in 2011. It's like a joke that this is like the meme on right-wing Twitter. In 2011, he went on a rape spree on New Year's and raped a bunch of women. And that's like the joke. So people run with that. And it's funny because it's like this guy clearly wouldn't rape anybody. But
yeah.
In that picture, he looks like he would.
Is he a conservative? What do you?
No, no, he is
libertarian.
So that's funny because the far left hates him too. So he calls himself a progressive. I would call him like a center left lib. Like he's like, look at his shirt, super dry. I said that's what women get when they see your profile pic. That was one of my jokes to him. But like, yeah, so he's like a center left lib. Which makes like the far left hate him too. So the far left bullies him over on Blueski, which is like left wing. It's like left wing gab. It's like a containment zone for like the far left. And they hate him so much over there. They're so mean. They like tell him to drink piss and stuff. The far left is honestly meaner to him than the far right is. And so he's just kind of hated by everybody. So yeah.
So Will Stancil, something to look out for then. Do you think he can be elected to office?
No, that's the funny thing about the campaign is that he ran for it and it got like hijacked by my right-wing friends that like, I know somebody that like they basically hijacked his campaign and made him out to be like a neo-Nazi and harassed his female opponent with like really misogynistic stuff. And just the fact that he on Twitter is just so, like, he's borderline Fed posting. I mean, he's just so unprofessional and, like, throwing tantrums. Like, look how many tweets this guy has. How many tweets does he have? I think he has, like, 500,000 tweets or something. Like, this is what he does all day.
If you can tweet a lot, he's going to have a lot of followers. Well, what's going on is he's monetized. So he's...
No, he's not. He says he wasn't. Like, for so long, he didn't even have a check mark. And then someone bought him a checkmark. So he just does it for the love of the game.
Oh, okay. He's not making money off his tweets. Because I'm looking at his numbers. I'm like, Well, he's probably making a couple grand a month at a minimum.
That's the
You
thing.
know?
It's not engagement bait. He's a true believer in what he does, whatever he thinks he believes in.
It's Will Stancil. All right, we covered Will Stancil. I found out about the meme. Now I know something about him. So this was a much bigger thing than I thought. I thought it was something you just came up with.
You thought I invented Will Stancil?
I don't know. I don't know.
In a way, I did, honestly. I mean, I made so many memes and art about him that honestly just made him look cool. The funny thing is that my music videos make him look far cooler than he actually is, which honestly, he should be thanking me and he should be like making me the minister of his propaganda. I did kind of invent him in a way. Like I brought him to life.
Well, maybe he should thank you.
He should.
He gets rich and famous off this. Will Stancil, the meme.
Will Stancil, everybody.
There you go. Something I'm curious about. Are you aware of Macron's wife?
I've
Macron?
seen the pictures, but like, it's a little weird, I gotta say.
All the facts behind that his wife was actually born a man?
I have, the transvestigation is not really my thing. Is there actually, I mean, it's weird enough that she's like, twice his age, but
I
what
thought,
is the evidence that she's a man? Like,
like, a lot. A
for
lot.
real?
That she was at one time and had surgeries and whatnot. I mean, like, Candace Owens,
Oh,
apparently,
yeah.
she did a huge deep dive into this, and I've only looked at parts of it, but there's a lot of weird information there. It's not like there's just like, it's never been denied or anything like that. They just threatened to sue people. I'm like, could this possibly be real? And like Candace like thought it was a troll and start looking into it and then just like, what the hell? And then she wasn't going to release the documentary. All they had to do is confirm a few things. Because obviously if you say someone was once if you were, let's say Emily Yukes was once a man, all you do is pull out your yearbook, yearbook photos, whatever, you're going to find out that Emily Yukes was a woman, a girl the whole entire time. But they've never done anything like that. And it's just the strangest shit ever, you know.
You saying there's a documentary? I usually like I try staying away from that stuff because it sounds like very conspiratorial and it's like
You'd
a
have
man
to.
who like what is the big deal? Like
The information is pretty overwhelming. Now, it's nothing I don't get into this type of thing really, because I generally don't believe it. But you would have to you would have to look up Candace Owens and Macron, and it is very strange. It is a
I'll take a look. Well, we've gotten to the point where it's like, even if Michelle Obama was revealed to be a man, it's like, oh
Big
boy, like
Mike.
a brave
Everyone's always said it
trans
was Big
person.
Mike.
Like,
I don't know if that's true though, but I don't know there's as much strange stuff behind Michelle Obama as there is behind Macron's
So he got
wife.
like groomed and raped by like an adult man. That's really freaky. Maybe that's what turned him gay or something. That's actually really creepy. He was like abused by an adult man and then just married him. I don't
There's some weird stuff going on. There is also something I knew is that the French elite around him are basically there's been numerous pedophile scandals
Oh,
around
yeah.
these two, like friends of theirs, numerous pedophile scandals. And so it's like it's all kinds of weird shit. But the Big Mike thing I always thought was a joke, but now I'm like I wonder if it's like the ultimate troll that these guys are married to like tranny. I mean, I don't even know how that works because they're like running around with children and everything else. So you're talking about a ginormous lie. Ginormous lie. I don't know. I was just curious if you heard anything about it and if you had any opinions on it.
No, I didn't. I haven't looked into that one yet.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're gonna look. Maybe you're gonna look now.
Maybe
But
now I will. Maybe now I will.
what video was it? What video was it that you and Warren did? In regards to the food
The food.
supply. I
the
want to,
additives and
yeah.
stuff. It was called Countdown. It's one of the very first ones that we ever did.
For Modern Politics, or was it before?
Yeah, and it was reviewing the book called Countdown. I think it's one word. But it was just, it's not so much like the food, like, look, we try and avoid, like, the lifestyle stuff, the health stuff, the food stuff. Like, that's not really our thing. But there was a book that was, very much talking about, like, it's all the way down at the bottom. Look at all that.
All
There it
right.
is, the one where we're outside. Count
I
down.
can't see it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Part two. I will go to part two. This is
It's like about the plastics, the microplastics, the estrogens, the stuff in the stuff all in the modern world that's causing like a decrease in fertility, just like infertility and stuff like that, and is affecting like, yeah, it's basically an environmental show. Like, it's ultimately coming down to we need to protect the environment and we need to get these chemicals out of people, out of the products, and we need to do, better regulation, because obviously we're very pro-environment, and we're a bit of eco-fascists here.
So
So yeah, the two-part series reviewing the book
have you seen the measures taken? Because
Hormones and the Process.
you have basically RFK Jr. making moves on the food supply. Red dye number five, all it doesn't look to be anything super dramatic, but they're reformulating stuff. For instance, Steak and Shake is now leaving vegetable oil and starting to cook their fries and beef fat. And they're talking about radically changing around the American food supply, which any change would probably be good, I think, if it's like changed to more organic or getting rid of it. The point he made, though, that was kind of shocking is that, like, okay, Lucky Charms or some cereal sold in by the same company in France has totally different ingredients than cereal sold in America.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The American foods definitely poison, especially the wheat. There's like theories now that there's really something wrong with American wheat. A lot of people who have like gluten sensitivity, increasingly people have gluten sensitivity, celiac disease, and these people will go to Europe and they'll eat the bread and pasta over there and they can tolerate it. Like, they won't have an allergic reaction. I think there's something with the wheat, 'cause personally, and look, like I said, lifestyle stuff, food stuff, that's not my thing. I don't do that. We don't usually do that. But I will say, like, that's not like a subject matter that I think is like good content. But I will say, personally, I have been cutting out gluten because it was like giving me major brain fog. And I've noticed like a difference between when I cut it out and when I don't. Like, I have so much more energy. I can get up easier in the morning. I can think clearer. I feel lighter.
What's in,
And
what is, what is, you just look at the ingredients and anything that has gluten in, you don't buy it?
yeah. I mean, like, Warren still eats gluten, like my kids eat gluten, but like I've been experimenting with cutting it out. And I've been noticing, I notice a difference. I notice a difference.
What is, gluten is just advertised as gluten as an ingredient. You'll see
It's
gluten.
wheat. Yeah, it's just the wheat.
Okay.
So anything with wheat in it, bread, pasta, but you can get substitutes of anything. You can get substitutes for gluten. There's like increasingly gluten-free stuff, and I think it's because there's a demand for it, 'cause I think the wheat is like mutated. Something's wrong with it.
Yeah, I've heard that the wheat they use in Italy is totally different.
Yeah. So we'll import pasta too, like Rao's pasta.
Well, I use their marinara sauce.
Oh God,
We
Rouse is
use
the
their
best. They
marinara,
have
yeah.
amazing sauce, arrabbiata sauce.
So is gluten only in, don't they add gluten to like meat fillers, certain meats, certain processed meats and stuff like that, or no?
Sometimes they do, like chicken nuggets will have a breaded thing around it that has gluten.
I've got to look at the package. I wonder how I would feel going off gluten. Did you notice it immediately when you went off gluten?
It took me about a couple weeks. So like, the first time I went off of it was like August, like the end of July. And then I just got all this energy and I had like this creative spree. I was like doing animations again. I was making a lot of art. I had like kind of a little art renaissance there. I had the energy to do it. And then over Christmas, it snuck back in and I was eating it again. And then I cut it out again like a month later. And I feel a lot better. So I don't know. Maybe it's a placebo, maybe not. But, you know, I don't like to get too into like, you know, the health stuff. I mean, like the little details. Like, I think what you need to do is just, you know, eat unprocessed foods, eat a relatively healthy diet, get good exercise, go on walks, do aerobics, lift weights. I don't go too crazy with it, but, you know, I think I do live, you know, a pretty healthy lifestyle. I have to. Otherwise, I'd look like crap. When you're on camera, you got to live a healthy lifestyle.
It is so gluten, huh? I've heard this several times from some of the people, but there is a, what is it, celiac disease, a certain disease where people can't have it.
Yeah, and I have friends who legitimately have celiac reactions, which is like they will have allergic reactions. I think there's like a spectrum, and I think some people just have sensitivities. I think I have a bit of a sensitivity. It gives me brain fog. It makes me feel like my brain is melting out of my skull. But then again, that might be Twitter. It might be because I'm addicted to Twitter now. So it makes me feel like my brain is melting out of my skull because I'm just scrolling this shit all day.
Yeah.
Right-wing Twitter. But it's hard. It's an addiction, but it's like it's also my job. You know, it's my job to be a political commentator. So it's kind of like blurry lines here. Overall, though, I've been loving being on Twitter. It's been wonderful. I love the people on Twitter. I have to say, a lot of right-wing Twitter just hates each other. They all hate each other. They're always fighting. It makes me sad. But
it's typical whites, though.
I'd say overall, the quality of people, like, they get me. They get me on Twitter the way that they didn't get me on, like, Gab or Telegram or other places. Like, they understand my humor. They understand my art. There's a lot of weirdos on right-wing Twitter. Like, I found a wonderful section of right-wing Twitter who share my politics, but are also, like, eccentric and, like, you know, dark humor, you know, screwed-up jokes. They are not the purity spiral right at all. Like, that is dying. Like, thank God. Because, God, I, you know, that was the most annoying thing in the world. And that was, like, had a little frustrating, you know, that was frustrating for me. Because I have, you know, I have... weird cartoons, to say the least, and I'm an eccentric artist, and a lot of people with art politics just didn't get it, and so it was very lonely and frustrating for many years. But on right-wing Twitter, they get me. Like, they get me. All the factions, there are a lot of factions, and they all like fight and hate each other, but there are things I disagree with all the factions, and then there are things that I agree with. And I have a strategy on Twitter to just, you know, be diplomatic. I like to amplify the things that people are doing right that I do agree with, and just leave alone the things that I don't agree with. Like, I don't like to go after people or attack people. I try and find stuff that we can all like unite on. You know, I'll attack the left, but I try to avoid like right-wing infighting at almost all costs. And that's been good for me. That's how I've been able to get a good following, is to be like diplomatic. And
it does work.
I know how to navigate all the scenes, but it's just wonderful being on a place with like intelligent, nuanced people that actually understand me and aren't going to like see my cartoons and be like, well, you're a degenerate. You said a cuss word. Oh, you're a degenerate. It's like, shut up. Like, there are lots of normal people. Like there are people, like, thank God the right has become like, the Overton window has shifted that like, people are just like, understand that people are, you know, going to be flawed. They grew up in this like incredibly screwed up society. People are going to have flaws. People are going to have eccentricities. Everybody in politics has eccentricities. Newsflash. Doesn't matter where you are in the political spectrum. Everyone in politics is a freak. So like, there's like the freak right that has kind of like embraced me, and I love it very much. I love being like accepted like as a whole person instead of being like fractured. I felt very fractured for a long time. So, oh, I froze. Did I freeze?
Did you freeze? Hold on. Let's see what's going on here.
Oh, that's a bad screenshot. Can you still hear me?
It is. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. You might have to log out and log back in real quick.
Okay. Okay, what should I do?
Just
Hang up?
yeah, just hang up and log back in.
Okay, I'll just click the link. Okay, BRB.
There we go. There we go.
Working again. I'm working.
There we go. There we go. Yeah,
Yeah.
that is one of the preoccupations with a live stream. Things can go sideways.
That's okay. We're back.
So anyways, let's get to some super chats here. The chat has been lively for some reason tonight.
Oh, boy.
Let's see here. Ghost Dog Man, do you think we will have a race war when Carmelo is sentenced to death? Well, that is a wild question. Will he get a death penalty? I
I
don't.
mean, if he's not going to, as long as the family isn't pushing for hate crime charges. Now, I did see that the mother, they asked the mother, are you like forgiving this killer? And she's like, I'm not like the father. Like, I do not feel, I do, we do not share the same opinion. I am not, I am very angry and I am not forgiving. And the twin brother isn't either. So hopefully they will take the reins in this case and push for hate crime charges and the death penalty. Because the reason why these blacks keep doing it is because they're just getting out in 5 years or like 3 years or 2 years or nothing at all. Like the kid in Akron, Ohio that got killed by a bunch of blacks a couple years ago because his family didn't push for hate crime charges and they were trying to deracialize it. So yeah, hopefully that they will actually, this is maybe this can be like a breakthrough case where it can actually be racialized and we can set a precedent here.
I'm curious to see. He goes on to say, just kidding, he will probably get manslaughter with 5-year sentence. Well, even if he gets a tough sentence, they tend to release him early. That's how it works. That's how it works. Let's go back to here. Let's see. We've got on, let's see, Flood wants Serbian Bull as a moderator. Take it under advisement. I don't know who Mr. Serbian Bull is. Global chat, but I do appreciate it, Flood. Thank you. Hopefully you're doing well out there. Global chat, hail Tim, hail the chat, Aaron White. Aaron White. Let's see, what do we got? We've got some currency from LBC. That's still going.
There's still library.
That's still library. Yeah, I don't take those questions serious. Let's see. We got Aaron White. Thank you very much, sir. A lot of sense. Can you ask Emily to address her cartoon? I don't know that it's a little bit loaded question there. A lot of sense. I haven't seen it in years, but I wouldn't call it X rated.
No, I mean, look, there's like, this is what I'm saying. There's like, people, I mean, I'm blowing up, so there people are like coming after me with attacks, but it's like, yes, I animate cartoons. I'm proud of my work. You can see it right there. You can play the cartoon right there. I don't hide the fact that I make cartoons.
I don't remember
It's an
anything
integral
about
part
it,
of my
but
identity, and I'm very proud of my work. And if you don't like it, you don't have to watch me. You don't have to watch my cartoons. Go watch like Patriarchy Hannah or something like that, you know?
okay, and they're saying something about videos of you in circulation, which it sounds a little, I don't know. I don't buy that. Does she
Yeah,
write?
like I said, there's a bunch of like trolls who are like coming after me, and I think it's because I'm like blowing up right now.
Well, it's just this same group, generally they're drama streamers, and drama streamers have to have something to stream about. This works in large groups, but in very small groups, you have to find another personality. It was Night Nation Review, but it looks like that arc is ending. I'm just looking from the chat today. That arc is ending, so they're trying to find someone else they can stream on or stream against within the confines of the right wing. And I
Right.
don't
Well, you
know.
can go find somebody else, guys.
I don't know that. Well, here's the thing. With these particular arcs, they work. Like when Kino Casino is doing it against a big name or a very well-known name, within the confines of something like MAGA, but within a small right-wing space, even a large growing white right-wing space, it becomes very difficult to do what they're trying to do. But anyways, it looks like the Night Nation Review arc is ending, and maybe they're moving on to what they see as like a new target so they can get super chats or whatever. I don't
Well, the
know.
thing is, it's like, I mean, this is, I've been, I mean, anyone who's in the right wing is going to have people like coming after them. I
Yeah.
mean, that's just inevitable. And it's
Right.
like a lot of stuff they're saying is like shit that would work in like on like Gab in like 2015. But like I said, this like purity spiraling retard right, as I see it, that like doesn't understand like art or nuance or comedy. I mean, that's just like dying off. Thank God.
It is.
So,
it is.
I
it's
mean,
a very a small, eccentric, enclosed group that has to have something to concern troll. And I don't know how much of it's serious or concern trolling or playing around for super chats. That's one of the things. But in a space where content is taken seriously, I don't know. I don't see it as having some kind of dynamic future, but others do. So who knows? But it looks like one arc is ending. You know, they're attacking Night Nation Review and doing AI songs, and now it looks like they're trying to find new targets because that's dying down or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like you can tell who they are and you can just ignore them.
That basically, yeah, but super chats are super chats. You know, does she, this question is somewhat legitimate. Does she regret any of her artistic choices?
No, absolutely not. I've never hid who I am. I've never done the trad LARP bullshit. I've never pretended to be somebody that I'm not. I am an animator and I make weird cartoons and I'm very proud of them. And if you don't like them, like I said, you don't have to watch them. You can find another figure to watch.
Yeah, let's see here. There you go. That answers
it. Like I said, there's a lot of people on the right who appreciate me and my work now, and it's been wonderful. And they exist on Twitter, and I've been embraced. I've had such a warm and wonderful embrace by like all the different right wing factions on Twitter. People are so nice to me on Twitter. I have never been treated so well as I have since getting back on Twitter. People remember me. They respect me. They respect the work that I've done. They like my cartoons. There's a lot of new Alfred fans. I'm like red pilling a lot of Alfred fans now. So a lot of these like people are becoming red pilled because of me. So, and I'm getting like Alfred fans that like liked Alfred but hated me because of my politics are now either don't care about my politics or are embracing my politics. So it's really great, actually.
Now, Ryan GGG says, I took the time to peruse Emily's Alfred audience. Yeah, I think there's a lot of concern trolling over this type of thing because they don't have maybe anything else to talk about. I don't know. Their comments and their interactions with them, I'm not religious, and my first thought was that God put her in a great place to tremendously help the youth and the youth of the West, and she isn't a perfect person to do it. So that's a little bit direct opposite opinion.
Well, thank you.
Maybe next time eggs, we need eggs. Okay. All right. Done with those. So basically, Alfreder, I'm trying to remember this particular character. I see it right here. It's a dog. You animate it. When did you start animating?
I taught myself to animate when I was like 12. Because I always wanted to animate ever since I was really young. And then I put my first Flash cartoons online when I was 14 in 2004. So like the very first Alfred cartoons I was putting on Newgrounds in the mid 2000s. And then some of my better known work was made in 2007, which is Rise of Alfred and the Alfred's Playhouse. And that's like blowing up now. That's like, it's actually crazy. It's like in the last 3 years, I didn't even realize that I had this fan base. There's been like this massive like fan base of like Gen Z on TikTok. So like the Alfred Alpha hashtag has like 5,000 hashtags. The Alfred's Playhouse hashtag has like 10,000 videos. So there's like thousands and thousands of fan videos of Alfred on TikTok. And like I said, this is really bizarre phenomenon where these kids love Alfred and they love my work, but they hate me because of my politics. So it's like a J.K. Rowling type situation. But increasingly in the last couple of years, like I said, they are becoming red pilled. They're looking at my other work.
What are you using to animate? Are you using?
So, this right here is a mix of Flash and After Effects. So it's like, yeah. Macromedia Flash is like the traditional 2D animation.
Right.
And then in After Effects, you can build like 3D rooms. So all of these spaces are like built in 3D out of 2D planes. That computer is a 3D element.
Oh, because you're not using Blender. You're not using anything. This is a little more old school then.
Yeah, it's After Effects. So that tower was built out of 2D planes. His eyes are a 3D element. The computer is a 3D element. So it's like the seamless mix of like 2D planes and 3D elements in a 3D space. And then you can take the camera. See, here's the cameras going through. It's zooming through. And you can light the space, you can move the camera. And so that's like this unique technique that I developed that I haven't really seen
Anywhere
else.
else. We did a lot of this stuff in early animations, but then I moved to Toon Booms, which is now Harmony, because I think it's probably one of the best and most dynamic to learn, and one of the easiest, because you can build assets and then do new, obviously new episodes and stuff like that. But yeah, it does look original. I find that a lot of white underground animators do original processes that only they do. It's not like a classical pipeline. This
Okay,
is
so
the
like those stairs were built, like those, I built those stairs out of like boards
How long did it
and
take you? How long did it take you to build those stairs?
oh, I don't know. The whole sequence here is part of a 6-minute animation that took 9 months that I did in 2016 leading up to the election. And
Okay.
I was animating it as I got red pilled. So it
Okay.
has, some like sort of like fish, fashy references and stuff. And it ends with like Trump taking Alfred and like saving him and like, fireworks going off and everything. This is just one clip from that, but this is pretty much like the best thing I've ever done animation wise. It's like my signature work. And yes, I'm very proud of it and I'm proud of all my work. And there's a lot of people that love my work. So yeah, I definitely have a unique audience and I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to be able to access different groups of people that typically wouldn't like, come in contact with these politics. And yeah, I'm red pilling a lot of people with them.
Now, the question came in, which is a legitimate question. When I do animation, my animations are all based on around one particular message. What is the basic message behind Alfred Alfreder?
Oh, well, that's hard to know. I mean, that's hard to
what
say
would Okay.
because, I mean, these were cartoons I started making when I was 14. I started
Okay.
uploading them, and
What
then
was the last
I.
one you did? What was the last one you
This
did?
is the last big one that I did.
Okay.
I did one called "Waking Up" in 2018,
All right.
which it was a commission, but I came up with a lot of it. It was like a very simple script that I did a lot of stuff. But that was like the one full animation that I did, like being post red pilled. But the majority of my work was done from age like 14 to 26. And I made this when I was 26 in 2016. So the majority of it was done when I was not political. Now, there were always political elements because, like I always say, I got into World War II in high school. So one of the aspects to Alfred is that he has a dictator alter personality, and that, like, is like a kind of a mix of Hitler and Stalin. And in Alfred's Playhouse, there's a lot of like references, like Beria is in it, like Lavrentiy Beria, like there's references to like, communist Russia and stuff. So there was always like, political elements. And I feel like no matter what, even if I didn't get into like official national socialism, I would have been canceled either way because there was enough problematic material in the cartoons, that it wouldn't have flied with the liberal audience, which unfortunately for cartoons animation, the audience is mostly these extreme far right liberals, or sorry, far left liberals, these leftists that are like, and you see it with Gen Z, especially on the TikToks. I mean, they're all trans, they're all like very self-hating, like they're self-hating white kids and stuff. And that's why it's great that I'm able to access them because this is like the most vulnerable generation. And they are, becoming red-pilled from being fans of my old cartoons that weren't necessarily political, but then going down the rabbit hole to my politics.
Oh, I
And I think
see.
that
I
actually
see.
worked
So
to my advantage in being able to access other audiences.
they look up Emily Yukes, and then they see an animation. The animation, because what I'm seeing here isn't really political, other than he's kind of on a cross, maybe.
Yeah, this is like when I was getting red pilled. So it's semi-political, but I
Okay.
think it's a good thing. And like I said, I've been wrestling with how to put politics into art, where the line is drawn. But I think recently with my AI animations, I think that I have kind of figured out a harmony of art, politics, and comedy. Comedy is very important. Do you want to play one of my new AI pieces?
Yeah, go
Because
ahead.
one thing I've been doing with my Twitter is I've been making a lot of AI pieces. If you search my tweets, I think maybe that magnifying glass, you can do it. Look up Kamala family.
Mala family.
So I've been working with AI now because, like I have a family and I do political work and I don't have time to do Alfred Alfer 77. You got to search me as well.
Okay, hold on.
And you might have to do it in quotes.
Kamala family.
Yeah. So I've been using AI because, I mean,
Oh, here
okay,
we
there it
go.
is. The AI. So I made this during the election this year. Right when the thing with Springfield was happening with the Haitians eating the cats. So you can play this one just like at full volume. This is about a minute long, and I think this is a good example of work that is political, comedic, and artistic, and has that like trifecta that I've been trying to achieve for so long.
Yeah, I can imagine some guy looking you up, seeing some guy or gal looking you up, and then seeing you getting fired from Pistachio Girl or the famous Gavin McInnes clip. I can see that, looking into politics and stuff like that.
We're a Kamala family. Of course, we don't care if pedophiles live three houses down the road because they're our neighbors, and we don't care if they love differently from us. We're a Kamala family. Of course, we agree that horse cum is super fun to guzzle down a liter at a time. We're a Kamala family. Of course, we want to live in gated communities while your small town gets taken over by Haitians who shit in the street and rape your kids.
Well, this has a few views.
Luffy, no.
It's a little graphic.
Please,
Eating the
Mr. Welts,
cat.
make him
I'm
stop.
surprised this didn't get limited.
Stop.
Mind your own
Yeah,
business. He's your neighbor, and he happens to eat differently from you. Shut up! Shut your mouth right now! How dare you infringe on your neighbor's rights to eat what he wants? This is his culture, and you should be ashamed for complaining.
Please, she's my best friend!
Mind your own business! Go back inside!
Dad, no! He's eating Sonic the Hedgehog!
What's it gonna be, little girl?
The kitty bake!
Or the double? Chunk, dirt, cookie!
Yeah, so that was a parody of the Costco family, and it's Tim Walz. And man, now these days, like that seems like a lifetime ago that stuff was relevant. But yeah, I think that's a good example of using comedy and politics and art. And like I said, my style of comedy is very dark humor. It's very disturbing humor, and I think that's a great way to illustrate how screwed up reality is. I mean, so there's one of my recent pieces.
Yeah, I mean Alfred, or when I first saw it, I thought it was a little bit almost psychedelic, like some of the original stuff, like Yellow Submarine style. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I love like surrealist stuff.
I thought it was influenced by that. But at the same time, it's a character you're evolving, so I don't know. So when you started doing AI, because AI has become very, very good right now
It's amazing.
at what you can do and get done. They're doing some hilarious stuff. And what did you use for this?
So that and like, yeah, you're right. Like AI has, since I made this, AI has like been like, this looks like ancient history compared to what the AI can do now. So I use this one program where you take a like a an image of someone's head. So I took the image of Tim Walz, and then I film myself saying the lines, and then it will, excuse me, it will make the head like adhere to your head. So basically, him saying these lines was like me acting it out and applied to a photograph of his head, and then the backgrounds were just Heyloo AI, which you just put in a prompt and you generate a background. So the AIs that I've been doing have been like multi-layered, and that's why I think I've developed my own unique technique. I did one with Will. I've done a million with Will Stansel, if you want to play one of those.
Will
It's up
Stansel.
to you, though. I know you have to get to Super Chat, so if you don't want to, we could watch one more and then we could get to the rest of the Super Chats. Stansel. You're going to find a million of these, but
let's see. Here you are.
There's me and Steve Saylor.
Wait,
type in Will Stansel New Year's. Freak off, sorry. Freak off.
Oh, no.
Freak off.
Two words or one?
Yeah, two words. Two words.
Okay, hold on. Will
there
Stansel
it is. There. Okay, freak so off. This is okay. One of my music videos. So you play this one.
I saw this. I was trying to figure out what you were doing. What I'm like, who is this guy? She's
yeah, it's multi layers of AI.
Okay. These have traction. They have good views. 172,000. When's this out? All right.
September 30th. So this was still when I had like half all the
payment. How long did this take you? Give us an idea of the time.
Oh, you won't believe 72 hours from start to finish. And okay. That's why I'm so excited about the AI.
Right. Yeah, because AI is like automatic.
Are we going to kill him on this?
Amen.
Rugged man. Tell him who you are.
This is Ho. Wap, 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 wap.
Hey, yo, ladies love rugged. I'm a Casanova. And once I make love to you, baby.
That's another thing. I noticed you write raps. I don't know a lot of right wingers that write raps, although there's a whole entire young crowd that likes, like, putting out rap tunes. I forget some of the names of the artists, but there's
rap.
Well, you write your own. I don't know that you like rap, but that was my question, because you tend to write these raps that are pretty funny, like this one.
I didn't write this one. This is Rugged Man. But yeah, okay. I'm a rap fan, believe it or not, because I grew up with rap, and especially with like the younger right wingers and stuff, like the Groypers, like. If you grow up listening to rap, you're going to develop a taste to it. And I like, I like the more psychological, more intellectual stuff, like the underground stuff. I like Jack Tripper, Jack Progresso is his name. He's Sicilian. He does like, kind of psychological, big brain type, disturbing, like horrorcore rap. So like I said, not for everybody. I don't even know if this is going to work because you were playing this and I couldn't even hear the song and it was out of sync. So don't worry about playing it if it's not going to be.
Oh, it sounds fine. It sounds fine.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're going to kill him on this.
Amen.
Maybe we're having audio issues, but you sound fine to me.
Okay. Okay, man.
Tell him who you are.
This is Ho. Wap, 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 wap.
Hey, yo, ladies love rugged, I'm a Casanova. And once I make love to you, baby, it's so over. Your boyfriend beat you up, call me if you need some loving. Or if he's corny in the bed and you just need a good fucking. I'm living every man's dream. I'm in my mid-30s and I'm strictly fucking bitches that are barely 18 in bed. Women say, ooh, he's clever. When I'm dead, chicks will probably miss me more than the late Heath Ledger. Yeah, they love me long time. It's like it's 89 and I'm Christopher Williams and I'll be sure combined. I never leave a man either, damn it. I need it, she a diva, Linda DeVita, defeater, pleaser, I'm eager to ease her. Turn on your radio, chica, chica, I know my voice turn you on. Take off your panties, make love to the speaker,
you know
come
I
on.
Love to fuck, tearing up that butt.
Did he respond to this?
yeah, there was like a back and forth. And there's Diddy, of course, the freak offs, if you guys remember. But yeah, he was like, oh, so I guess there's a far right diss track now. It's like cheesy AI. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut up, Will. I made you look cooler than, like, 10 times cooler than you actually are. You should be thanking me. But yeah, that's just one of the pieces. And yeah, the people are loving it. People are loving the new work that I've been doing. So.
What do you think of the Austrian rapper? That got
the what?
That got put in jail. The famous Austrian rapper, Mr. Bond.
Oh, yes. Free Mr. Bond. Free Mr. Bond. I like Mr. Bond.
Because I'm always asked my favorite rapper by young guys. I'm like, Mr. Bond. And they're like, who's that? Like at the gym or something like that.
That's the only rapper
I know. I say Mr. Bond. Well, there's others that I know of, but I would never mention them as a favorite rapper. But I'm always Mr. Bond. Look him up. You know, all these young guys are like, Mr. Bond. I've never heard of that. Some of them actually end up playing. I'm like, whoa, that's like, I've never heard this before, really shocked by it. And he's in jail for a long time, Mr. Bond, a very famous rapper. But that's the only rapper I can really think of. There are others, of course, but in
our
particular
thing. Moon Man raps were also some of the original right-wing raps. Really good stuff. Moon Man, KKK, KKKK. Triple Six Mafia, you know, Triple K Mafia, you know. I love the Moon Man raps, but like I said, you know, it's not for everybody. Not everyone likes rap. That's fine, but there are people that do.
Yeah, I forgot about Moon Man. Moon Man would be another. Those were, didn't you do one of those that was, you did a Moon Man. That's what I remember.
I did. I did a couple Moon Man. My most famous was a parody of the Eminem song, My Name Is.
Right.
And that's a great one. That one still holds up to this day. I did that one in 2016. So
My Name Is. And how'd you do that? You did that on a computer. It was like a computer voice or something, right?
That's a computer voice. And you just, it was a text to speech. And it's amazing because now you can just generate like AI voices. You can put in a sample of someone and create like, you know, dialogue, and it sounds identical to that person. So really the AI is just keeping up. Like it's what's the word? It's developing faster than I can really keep track of. And it's really incredible. And like for an artist, people are always say, oh, AI is going to be the death of art, but I'm bullish on AI. As a tool, it's incredible, especially as an animator. So it's like, look, I put in the time. I've dedicated thousands and thousands of hours, blood, sweat, and tears, suffering to my art through animation. And, you know I can do it, and I still want to do it. And I think we're getting to the point, believe it or not, Tim, we're almost at the point where you will be able to draw keyframes, right? And then just have the AI like fill in the in-betweens and color it. And that's what I am like, once that's a feature, like it's over for you hoes. Like I'm gonna make another Alfred movie, and I'm gonna make it in a fraction of the time. And so that's what I'm waiting for. I'm not, you know, there were these Ghibli things that were going around with like pre-made movements and stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of that. I still like to animate. I still want to be in control fully of the movement. And I don't think AI can really replicate the feel of hand-drawn animation. But I mean, if it gets to the point where it's like you literally have a studio, like AI can be your studio and do all the bitch work, do all the coloring, do the in-betweens, you know, all that stuff. And you just have to like basically compose the shots and do the keyframes. Then that's going to be a freaking game changer. I mean, then I'm going to have like another renaissance of animation, which I've been gearing up to for years now. I haven't had time because I've been doing my political work and I have a family. But I'm gearing up for like an animation, like a new renaissance of that. So it's very exciting.
I think there's always going to be room for a very high quality 2D animation. 3D animation has not really been done properly. I did a 3D rabbit, which, like part of a children cartoon ideal, but I never really, because the render farms are so expensive and stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. There's a lot you can do though that's not being done. And there's a lot of classic stuff that can be messed with. Even the stuff I like the Jetsons or Fred, there's so much you can do with animation that hasn't been done. And assets just sitting there that, the Jews can't do anything with. When they do anything with it, they just mess it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lot of Sense says, please ask Emily how Alfred or Red Pills people. She said that already. When you have an artist that is like comes into right-wing views, pro-white views, and that audience can come with that particular artist, or whether it be a musician or anything else, there's obviously transitions. But the actual character itself, early on, probably not. It's a little bit psychedelic. But Emily Pistachio Girl, that's a whole nother story. So you got to look at the whole entire picture of the audience coming with the artist.
Right.
Robert E. Pyle says, you have a lot of trogs in your chat that hate both you and Emily. That's okay. Robert E. Pyle.
Not even looking at the chat. I don't know where it is.
I've looked at it a couple times, but I have it on full screen. So we got a mod, but he's pretty lax unless someone's like making threats or saying crazy stuff. He looks like he's probably banned some people. Unless they're saying outrageous things, you know, like, you know, making outrageous allegations, then, you know. We just time them out for a few minutes. It's like their whole entire thing. I don't know why they think it's newsworthy, but that means you're growing. That's usually
what it means.
You're
doing it because I'm blowing up on Twitter. It's like, yeah. I'm doing tremendously on Twitter.
You'll be at 100K, you'll be at a million.
everybody loves me on Twitter. Everyone remembers me. I'm well respected. All the big accounts like share my stuff. So they're obviously,
I mean, you're the one person I talk to. I talked to a couple of different gripers, longtime gripers, and you're the one person that they like too. This is kind of interesting.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm good at being diplomatic amongst all these factions without like being part of anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's amazing that people still remember me. I mean, like all these big accounts, like baddies of TikTok and like,
there's not a lot of women in the right wing that get fired, that got fired at the time you got fired and made all the different press and had all the particular issues. You got fired from a good job, Pistachio Girl. And I just don't think there's that many females that come into this and that can hold up, or that can hold up for any length of time publicly. It's tough.
Yeah.
Well, there's not many males. There's not many males, and there sure as hell is even fewer females. Lana Lochteff, you've got, well, who else like that? I mean, you're down that particular road where you're female, you become right wing, you become based, you go on Gavin McInnes, you state your views very plainly, very upfront, and that's how you live your life. And there's very few that can do it, even as white males, much less females. So I think that's why you stand out. And
yeah. And I'm also, you know, it's like, I'm trying to think, like,
your political views are consistent too. Your political views are consistent since your evolution into the right wing. They're fairly consistent.
Yeah. Like I said, like of all the e-girls that came about,
you were the first to say nigger.
In 2016, I can't think of too many that have like are still doing this like consistently, and B, like, haven't like cucked or gone back or like, you know, done like a, oops, I was just doing an irony or something like that. But the thing is like, I'm just as racist now as I was in 2016. It's like, I like went there and then it just stayed that way. So, consistency, you know, it's nice to see people respect consistency, and people know that I've been doing this for a long time and that I've been consistent and I have never backed down. I've never shown weakness. I've only kept going, and you know, all the adversities that have happened to me over the years from my politics have only like, you know, made me stronger and have motivated me more, and people respect that. So
you've never folded on your views. I'll give you credit. The funniest video you've ever done is when you did that cartoon, the Halloween one, where it's like, you got to be a pirate and use the hard R, because you were the first white chick.
That's the other thing. That's the other reason why people like me is because I do. I mean, I have content. Like I'm an animator. I make videos. I make skits. Like I have content. I'm not just another commentator. I'm not just another girl regurgitating political opinions. I make actual content that most men can't do. Like most men can't do what I do. Like 99.9% of human beings cannot do what I do. And you know, it's like that gives me an advantage. And also comedy. I think comedy is one of the big reasons why people like me so much, is because I'm funny and I do comedy. Like, which, you know, that's most women aren't good at comedy, but I think I'm one of the ones that's good at it. Like I'm consistently funny. I can consistently put out funny work.
Yeah, no, we've seen a lot of, someone in the chat said, why would anyone fold? We've seen a lot of white guys come out with controversial views and then fold over. Like that one particular boxer MMA guy that said that what he said about Hitler, then backed down and started apologizing to the Jews just recently. We've seen dozens of cases like that over the years. And I'm sure we've seen it from white women as well. But Emily, of course, has never backed out. You were the first white woman that I know of in these modern times to go hard R on camera with like Gavin McInnes and piss him off and stuff like that. Now it's like in vogue. You got all these white women on Twitter that want everyone to know they say the word nigger. Like Lily Gaddis does it all the time. But you were like the first to do that, actually.
Thank you. Thanks for recognizing that. It wasn't even close.
You did it months and months ago, so it's funny. The hard R. You got to be a pirate and use the hard R. It's funny stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to see that now, instead of like, you know, back in 2016, it was popular for girls to say like, you know, oh, I want to be traditional and conservative and like blah blah blah, like that milquetoast stuff. It's nice to see now, like with the right wing e-girls coming out now, like Sarah Stock, are like straight up saying like, no, white people, they're saying like they're saying pro white stuff. They're like explicitly pro white. They're not doing like the dance around like Western stuff. They're you know, they're saying America needs to remain majority white, explicitly. Like that is now, we've shifted to the point where like emerging right wing e-girls are just like being explicitly pro white, and that's great. Like, and I know that me and you like helped move that that window over the years. Like it's because we've been doing what we were doing that we've been pushing this window, you know, behind the scenes, like through censorship, being kicked off, being banned off of everything, you know, getting like for so long, all I had was just like a freaking app banned Telegram channel. I mean, it was really awful. It was like the pit of despair, but you know, we kept going and now our work's paying off and now we're being recognized for it. And it's really wonderful.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see this many white women saying the word hard R. Like I remember your pirate video, and I'm like, what's the odds of that being like all the white women have to hard R to get a boyfriend?
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. Yeah. It's the new mating call, I guess.
What I'm saying. Like all these trolls, it's like, dude, like if you like you picked a dumb time to like troll me now. It's like if I'm not gonna stop, like. You should have tried this back in like, you know, 2017 when the purity spiraling retard right was still like the dominant thing in like Gab echo chambers. Like that doesn't exist anymore. Like your stupid shit isn't going to work. And I'm very, very effective and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. You stand up on your own. You have your own, you have your own views. They're not, your whole entire evolution is unique.
Yeah, and I like that. And people appreciate that. People are sick of the stupid, like, trad LARP, like, bullshit with women. I mean, people are, like, tired of that. It's boring. People are tired of, like, the, like, I'm going to wear the little sundress and, you know, make the cookies. I mean, that's, like, just not good content. Like, people don't want to see that. People appreciate me because I am, like, a unique, eccentric person.
Yeah. See here what we have. Emily is the queen of our movement. Yeah. Uncle A's ice cream shop. But yeah, if you're going to be that is one thing that I've noticed. If you're going to be a woman in this particular ordeal and be able to, you have to be able to stand up on your own feet, and you have to be able to take a lot of shit, not just from the enemy, but a lot of times from your own side or people that say they're on our side.
Yeah. Well, Isabel Peralta is a great example of a woman who she's like, She's perfect. I love her. I'm glad
you pulled
her up.
I've seen her before, but I wanted you to talk about this because you brought this to my attention. And I'm in touch with one of the first places in the world that like was publicly spray painting anti-racist, code word for anti-white, and No Genocide Blanco was in Spain. One of these particular Spanish nationalist group that's still around. It's pretty wild. I have like pictures of it where they were spray painting stuff. This was a long time ago. So I keep up with Spain a little bit when those guys let me know stuff. But tell us about Isabel Peralta.
Yeah, so it was Isabel, I was following her since the beginning when she came about in 2021. And one of my very first episodes of Modern Politics, when we were still like experimenting with the format, it was just like a monologue that I did, was about her. And I love her. She's an example, like a great example of a woman who is just purely political. She's not doing like some sort of trad LARP thing. She's not like putting on an act. She's not doing like lifestyle content. Because honestly, I think the lifestyle content is really gay and boring. She's like she's an actual political activist who does like, you know, activism in the streets. She, you know, is a great speaker. She's very intelligent. She's well-read. She knows about history. She knows about her predecessors. And she names the Jew. I mean, the thing she was well-known for in her speech was she was like, El Judío, the Jew. And she does the salute. So she's like a perfect example. I just really love her a lot of like a good political woman. A good nationalist woman. And I guess she's back in the news now because she's facing like 3.5 years in prison for doing the Hitler salute and stuff. was, as you can see her doing here, but she's not backing down either. Like she's very brave. I mean, she's giving interviews, like she's sticking to her guns. I mean, she's just really great at like a great, like female, like fearless woman in right-wing politics. So yeah, hopefully she doesn't go to jail. Obviously it's different in Europe, and it really makes me grateful for the fact that I am an American and I can get away with stuff here that she can't, but everyone should definitely follow this case and show her some support. I know I don't think this is actually her Twitter. If you scroll down, this might be like someone who's just like representing her on Twitter, but the updates right will be on this account. I mean, I think they're providing the updates. See, she's beautiful. She's hot. She's amazing.
I should try to get her on for an interview.
You should. I don't know if she speaks English. There she goes. Oh my God.
What is the name of her? Is she? Okay, she's in the Maine Nationalist Party, isn't she?
I'm not exactly sure.
No, it must be one of these subgroups. They want to put her in jail for what, a decade?
3.5 years. For the salute. But that's what's just so wonderful. She's out there like saluting as she's giving a press interview about this. And I mean, she's just really, if you're a woman who wants to get into right-wing politics, there, that's, you know, a girl you want to aspire to be. She's stylish. She's smart. She's brave. She doesn't give a fuck.
No, she doesn't. And that's if you're going to be a woman, if you're going to be in this, woman or man, I mean, look at the Golden Dawn. They're still in jail.
I know.
They don't give a shit about putting our people in jail. So if you're going to be out there, this is what you're going to have to deal with. And here she is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, she's European. And, like, I have so much respect for, like, you know, Patriotic Alternative, people in the UK. Laura Towler, she's another act. She's another example of an amazing woman in politics who's very intelligent and political and strong and who has gone through so much adversity but hasn't backed down. Laura Towler is like grade A, but like I have so much respect for like Europeans because they can actually face jail time. That's something I don't have to worry about. I can go on Twitter and I can do salutes and I can say the N-word and I can do whatever I want and I'm protected by free speech at the moment. I know they're going to try and crack down on that, like especially with the Jewish stuff. I mean, the Jewish stuff is just out of control right now. And like Randy Fine is, you know, trying to pass laws that are like blurring the free speech protections. Like he passed something that it's like if you pass out a flyer that like just simply gives information on the genocide in Gaza or like say, you know, who's being funded by AIPAC and how much. And that flyer like lands on a Jewish person's lawn, you can go to jail for 5 years for hate littering.
Yeah.
So they're trying. The Jews are going to try to crack down on this stuff, but it's going to be difficult because like Trump and Elon are all about free speech. So they're playing this dangerous game where I do believe they're trying to corral people on Twitter so they can. They tried to get the right wing back on Twitter so they could influence the conversation and monitor the conversation more because people were drifting away to like Telegram and other places where they couldn't really monitor things. So they wanted to get everyone back on so they could, you know, try and funnel stuff into a more like philo-Semitic kosher right. And you can see on right wing Twitter, there are huge attempts to make the kosher right a thing and like even marketing it now like kosher, like pro-white politics. Like if you want to, you know, if you like pro-Zionism is pro-white and anti-Semitism is anti-white, stuff like that. Like this is what they're trying now. And you know, they're really going hard and sometimes it's working, but the cat's out of the bag and they really can't contain the conversation even though they're trying to do it.
No, they can't. There's a very like rational reason why they never will. I mean, they never have at this stage. You've got new form of communication that's just been unleashed. I am curious, though, to get your take, because you interact with Groypers. Nick Fuentes, no sooner than we have, like, some particular – he does nightly – I guess a daily variety show where he does commentary. And any given night, his commentary is – you know, on various different subjects, I could totally agree with, let's say, like this coming up right here. But he has so many fans that turn around his stuff in a very high quality way. That's pretty impressive. I just wonder how many thousands do you think he has? I mean, he looks like he has about 50 to 100 really talented guys that can turn around his stuff very quickly. And then he's got thousands of followers. But we're going to play this real quick, and I want you to comment because you're growing on social media. And I'm even trying to grow again. I'm doing a few different tweets a day, whatever, just to see what's out there. And growing again, I think I have 1 million impressions in the last week or whatever, which is like a record number for me, and I'm not really trying that hard yet. And this is the most I've ever done since like the white genocide trending stuff and stuff, all that particular stuff from the alt-right, because we got banned so many times or lost accounts, had to get them back. But he has kind of been like a social media phenomenon. Like you contrast him with, let's say, Patriot Front. Patriot Front, Thomas Rousseau is out organizing. He can't really have Twitter. He's on Telegram. He's got large Telegram accounts, but he can't be on X. It's very difficult to get any of these videos out. But he's also like a different character altogether, and so much that he's not an entertainer. He's terribly consistent in his views and organization and classic American nationalism, classic pro-white, the pro-white aspect, you know, classic American nationalism, basically, which combines heavily with pro-white politics. And then you have another case, which is like a social media phenomenon and it, more of an entertainer, same age group, virtually maybe 1 year apart, who is basically a social media phenomenon, and he has a lot of followers, and I don't know that he's an organizer in the conventional way at all. It's just I consider him more of an entertainer and political commentary, whereas like Thomas Rousseau is like an organizer and a political figure down that road. These are two like totally different people, and their politics converge on some level. On other levels, they totally diverge. With that being said, what is your interaction with the Groypers, and what do you think about that particular organization? Let's play this, because this is pretty funny. This is kind of what Nick Fuentes does when there's obviously a major black on white crime piece that is now gaining traction across not just Twitter but Facebook as well. Which is another thing that I've been told to do, you know, because I've been kicked off Facebook 20 times. I can't really have a Facebook account, but I've been told to make like a Facebook page for White Rabbit Radio and do whatever post I do on Twitter, do on Facebook, which is something you should try too. I'd just be curious to see how it worked for you. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's wide open territory these days. I don't know
Facebook.
If that's true. Well, iHypocrite. Actually gets paid by them, and he
does okay, well, that's good to know.
All the same stuff he's putting up on Telegram goes up on Twitter, goes up on Facebook at the same time.
I don't think I can handle any more social media, I'll be honest. Well, I feel like my time is so crunched.
No,
just
he has,
being on Twitter.
He's the same. We're all the same as far as time crunch, but he has one platform he uses, and that platform distributes his particular
content. It's automatic.
Yeah, it's automatic across all his platforms. So he's only doing one app, one social media app that handles all those platforms, which is pretty wild.
My God. That's awesome. I didn't know that was a thing. What is it? What's it called?
Hold on. Let me look it up.
Because, like, yeah, you would think that would be a thing by now, because, like, cross-posting is such a pain in the ass. And like, I'm already spending way too much time on Twitter.
Do I have it? What is the name of it? It's only Pult. Hold on, let me pull
only
it up.
What?
This is the one that iHypocrite and all the pros use. This is it right here.
Oh, okay. I have never heard of this.
Right. Now, what it does is it handles all your social media accounts all at once. And there's various different, you know, I'll give you the link to it later. But it handles all your social media accounts. It integrates them. And like, so he's like, the way these guys do it is they're like 20 posts ahead, you know, or they're doing real time commentary. But either way, it's going to everything. It's like you're on a Twitter app, but you're not on just Twitter. You're on like whatever social media, and it's posting to all of them at once.
That's great. You know what? I'm gonna actually look into that. That's a really good thing to have.
Yeah, I'm thinking you could probably really grow on some of those different platforms because I don't know, your views are anyways, they're right into mainstream these days as far as the political views. Pistachio Girl's views on blacks and stuff. Hold on here. Let's watch this.
And I will tell you this as plainly as possible.
Now, this is a setup, guys, for those listening to the MP3. I know you're out there tomorrow morning going to be listening. awfulwhiterabbitradio.net. But this is, it looks like a Zillow ad, the real estate company. And they have Nick sitting in a Zillow office, like a real estate office. And he's looking for houses, right? POV, you're my real estate agent. And this is some griper.
And I will tell you this as plainly as possible.
And this is fast growing, right?
I don't want to live around black people. I just don't. It would be irresponsible if I had a wife and kids to live near black people. It just would be. And that's not to say that every black person is violent. It's not to say that every black person is the same way. But we watch the news. We read the papers. When you drive downtown in Chicago, you know who you got to look out for and worry about when you're thinking about whether you're going to get carjacked, when you're worried about catching a stray bullet, when you're worried about who's going to pull up on the side of the road and literally shove a rifle in your face and steal your iPhone or shoot you point blank, execution style, in Lincoln Park. We know who's doing it. I don't want to live near them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's looking at social media trends and he's jumping on things. I'm sure he has legitimate views, but I've seen him back down on the black issue and go the other direction, like, you know, like he did there kind of a little bit. Not all blacks are bad. Well, statistically speaking, you can't really live around them. So he's kind of like mixing some things together, making it sound nice.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, you know, there are like some, you know, okay blacks that are nice, that's for sure. But they're what?
They
like,
have
you
kids.
Know,
they
5%
have kids.
Of them, like, you know. Yeah. Who posted this? That was really good. That's really good.
This is from Maestro. It's crucial to consider. And this has almost, I mean, it's closing on 200,000 views. It's just posted today. So they've got viral content all the time. Anytime an event comes out, they take his statements. It's gaining views as we do this. They take his statements and they, you know, I put it in some funny little clip. He's at a Zillow office. They got the Zillow logo and he's looking for real estate. I don't want to live around blacks. And you know, they do this very, very well. And they got hammered on Twitter for dominating.
The Reuters.
Yeah, they got hammered on X for dominating the conversation.
I know.
Over
I've
the H-1B stuff. They went down. Groypers went down for that.
I don't think they went down. I mean, they're still going.
No, I mean they hammered their largest.
Definitely a coordinated campaign against them for sure. And it's because Nick got back on the platform and he was naming the Jew hardcore. And he was, and the Groypers were like being like, you know, hardcore anti-Semites, whereas, you know, the previous Twitter ecosystem, you know, I'm not saying everyone was like a philo-Semite, but if you were going to be on Twitter for the last like 4 or 5 years, you kind of either had to be neutral on the JQ or, you know, be like not, either not talk about it at all. Or be like, you know, moderately philo-Semitic. And that's just, you know, what, that's just the ecosystem that formed on Twitter. All the anti-Semites got banned. So when the Groypers came back on and were hardcore anti-Semites, obviously there was like this huge coordinated campaign against them. And it's like, you know, I don't agree with everything that Nick or the Groypers say, but I do agree with, you know, most things that they say about, especially about the JQ and everything. And I think that's the main reason why they were trying to take them down. And then all the top Groypers got banned, you know, saying they were spamming and stuff.
Well, that was
so
the
H1. So there was definitely a coordinated campaign against them, but they're still going. And
Yeah, for sure. But it was the H1B incident where they started challenging Elon Musk. Those large Groyper accounts that had like special badges or whatever they had purchased from X, they started challenging him and he just hammered those accounts, which
he did. And that's just goes to show the limits of, you know, the free speech on X. I mean, in some ways it's really great, but you know, if you go too hard on the Jews or something, now they're back. Now all the top Groypers have their accounts, they're finally back. But yeah, for a while they were like mass banning. But the thing that the Groypers do, that's right, is they just don't quit. They keep respawning.
That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So they're effective, and they do dominate like a massive faction of the online right. And when you do dominate a massive faction of the online right, you're going to get attacked a lot. You're going to get attacked by the right, especially. And like I said, the right, the infighting on the right, you know, I don't like to see it. It always makes me a little sad because I like things about all the different factions. you know, so it's like, I wish people could get along better, but I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, but they're still thriving. Nick's still really going. He's been proven right about the Trump administration, which, I mean, you know, Warren and I and Stryker, we've been saying the same stuff for years. You know, he's going to be Israel first. He's going to do conflict with Iran, like stuff that's literally, you know, high, in plain sight that everyone should know. But, you know, there's a lot of Trump cheerleaders on X, and not all of them are bad. A lot of them are good faith people and everything. And of course, you know, it's fun to trigger the libs by supporting Trump and everything. But, you know, you got to be realistic. You got to be realistic about this administration. And it seems like they're going balls to the wall, Israel first.
I don't know. Yeah. His stunt saying that he's intentionally jawboning the stock market down actually shocked the shit out of me. That's not something we've ever seen. The idea that a sitting president is going to go at it with the Federal Reserve is funny. And this is like a popcorn time, other than you better like have enough food and water to go 90 days. Who knows what's going to happen next type of thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's moving so fast that I'm like, Trump is the accelerationist candidate. People were saying Kamala would be the acceleration candidate. Trump kind of is. I mean, stuff is so crazy right now. That you really, and it's very volatile, and it's kind of scary, especially in the Middle East. But it's like, you know, I want the freaking mass deportations. I mean, we need to be deporting like 10,000 people a day.
Well, you know, like, he's taking heat over that because he keeps on asking. He's trying to get their guys to get up the numbers. They don't have a budget for it. They don't have a budget or the plans for a budget. Maybe he knows that, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not as smart as some people think. I have I don't have a clue, but they need to do. I thought it was interesting that that particular military organization, they've changed the name so many times, run by that particular neocon, was talking about he could deport 500,000 a month in private contract for like, what, $20 billion a year or something like that. And that was like white paper's numbers. Like, well, they can deport 500,000 a month. And they can use military cargo jets. They can do 500,000 a month. That's funny he came out with that number. I'm trying to figure out it. I'm trying to remember his name.
Well, I did the math, and I did it on one of our shows there. I forget which one, but you know, it's like 10 million people came in under Biden. So just to get like 10 million people out, we're going to have to do like, you know, several thousand a day. And we're nowhere near close to that. And I would be willing to forgive a lot of the stuff with the Trump administration if he was actually deporting several thousand people a day. And
if,
it's like,
he's running into hiccups,
but I find it a little weird that he can like say, gut the deep state or do all these radical changes to, you know, fire all these people and do all these radical changes in all these different ways. And like you said, like take on the Federal Reserve, but somehow runs into every stumbling block under the sun when it comes to deporting like literal illegal criminal aliens. Like, I don't know. That's a little weird to me. Why is that the one thing? Why can you do everything and act as dictator and completely supposedly, you know, put everything on its head? I don't think so. I think this is just another continuation of the deep state. I think this is all a massive rebrand. But in theory, you're gutting the deep state and you're turning everything on its head, but you can't deport more than like 1,000 people a day. So like, what the hell is going on? You know, that's like the bare minimum of what people want. And if you can't do that, especially as we're at the cusp of getting into minority status, if we don't do something radical, we are going to be a minority. Like, I mean, the younger generation is already a minority.
If you start doing if they could do 500,000 a month, you're dealing with 6 million a year. That would be a serious impact over his presidency if you start hitting those. Because then I think your number was 100,000 a month that you want to see. Now, I think if you hit 100,000 a month, I think you'd see a lot of self-deportations. They're already saying coyotes are being paid to smuggle people out of America, like gang members and stuff like that, who are afraid of being sent to El Salvador, which I thought was pretty funny. But I don't know if it's
Trump,
true.
If Trump deported 30 million people during his presidency, I would let a lot of stuff slide. I would be like, okay, I'm not gonna like complain, you know, it's awful what's going on in Gaza. It's awful what's going on in Gaza. But you know, he's gonna deport. They are gonna deport 2 million Palestinians. But at least then I'll be like, well, at least they're deporting people here. You know, I'd be
Eric
I'd be
Prince,
a little less
Eric Prince and Blackwater.
If he did that
was the name, sorry. Eric Prince and Blackwater came out with the plan at $500,000 a month. And for $20 billion, he could do a $500,000 a month. And, you know, they could get the military involved. But that's White Paper's number. So I thought it was interesting. We got overlapping numbers here. So you know the number must have been legit from White Paper's, which would be $6 million a year. You'd have self-deportations happening because apparently these trips, and this hasn't been 100% confirmed, but I can imagine psychologically if you are sending people to El Salvador prisons, like gang members, MS-13 gang members, some other gang members that are still here that haven't been arrested would shit their pants and like, I gotta get the fuck out of here before I get sent to El Salvador, because that's a rough ride. That's a rough ride.
Yeah, I mean, if we could, if he stopped whites from becoming a minority in America, like, and he could make an executive order that's like, we are gonna, you know, whites are not, to become a minority. Like, we're gonna protect the majority, the historic majority of Americans in this country. And he could even frame it as like, you know, the historic minority of blacks too. But like, keep the demographics where it is. But I mean, as long as we're sliding into minority status and it's very, very rapid and we're all, and the younger generations already are minorities, I cannot applaud Trump for letting this happen. You know, at least address it, at least say it, like say white Americans. He still won't say white Americans.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm worried about getting sent to El Salvador prison or Guantanamo.
Why, because you're anti-Semitic? Yeah, that was my joke. It was they're just going to deport all the anti-Semites.
Exactly. Send them to the islands. That's what I'm worried about. Crafty Boom, salute. Thank you very much, sir. Uncle A is ice cream. Emily is a queen. I think I read that. Thank you, Bo Nelson, for the subs on Rumble. I do appreciate that. Thanks for your support. If you don't support us, support the guests. What are you guys up to? When is your next piece coming out? It's going over 2 hours. I don't want to keep you for forever. I know Warren might get, you got kids, you got stuff to do, important things going on in your life. When's the next Modern Politics coming out? What do you got coming up for your Twitter account? What are you cooking? What are you cooking there?
Okay, well, we're not putting an episode of Modern Politics out this week because he ended up doing 2 war strikes this week.
Ouch.
And I'm doing a thing with you, so there just simply wasn't time. So the next one will be out next week, and the way stuff is rapidly changing, who knows what we're going to do it on. Maybe we'll go back to black crime with this new case. We haven't touched on black crime in a while, but other than that, let's see. I'm going to be on Twitter, and I'm going to make a new AI animation with Randy Fine. So okay. I'm going to get started on that. I'm going to use some new techniques.
What's the line? Other than eating lots of food?
He's going to be eating lots of food and he's going to be fat. But I don't want to give it away too much.
Is it going to be like Jabba the Hutt, Randy Fine, something like that?
I don't want to give it away.
Okay, okay.
It's going to be funny and it's going to be good.
I would just release it on X.
Yeah, I do want to do some art streams in the future. I do want to start streaming maybe like the process of me making these AI videos, or just doing like some good old-fashioned, you know, breaking out the Cintiq and doing some old-fashioned animation again. Maybe I've been meaning to do art streams for a while. Again, we're so busy that it is hard to fit extra things in, but I'm really gonna strive for that this year. But just follow me on Twitter at AlfredAlfer77. Like I said, I'm not really active on other things as much, but so that's like the primary, but maybe I will be once, if I get this like thing that you told me about, this app, maybe that'll help me cross pollinate a little bit more.
Only Pult. Yeah. I'll put the link up for you. Yeah. I think it's something that like the professionals that make like lots of money on social media, that's how they're doing. They're like scheduling everything out, or when they're having a conversation, it's going on across multiple platforms, which is kind of smart.
Nice.
You know, because you can't post all these platforms, but if you got one app posting to everything, then it's easy.
It was a great idea. So yeah, I'll check it out.
I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. I'll be back Sunday at 5:30. There's lots of stuff going on. We have a stock market is reeling. It's down 20%, which is where like the pros start buying, because this is like statistically, if it's down 20%, you start buying. Now, the outlier would be if it goes down 40%.
Buy the dip.
94% of stocks are owned by 8% of the population. You got to keep that in mind. And meaning the vast majority of them. There are pension funds, though, tied in. And if he's intentionally doing something, Trump is a kamikaze. So I don't know. I don't know that he knows. But we'll stay tuned, guys. I'll cover it Sunday night and everything else. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And I appreciate Emily for coming on and being a good sport. You can check her out at the link in the description. I think you check her out at Modern Politics, which you guys know about. And Alfred Alfer over there on X, Alfred Alfer 77, it's linked in the description. It is a fast-growing Twitter account. She's putting out stuff right, left, and center, and commentary right, left, and center, so you can check her out there. And I appreciate you coming on, Emily, being a good sport. Give my best to Warren and the kids, and cheers.
Well,
go ahead.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a great time.
Cheers, and I'll see you guys on Sunday. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, bye.